Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air. It's the 7th of October now. The mood is autumnal. The vibes are collars up, dark mornings, and the weather is outside, where it normally is, doing similar things to October that it does to April. And the WhatsApp is open to welcome your musings on 0870 32 32 32. The email is usculturefreshen for the same business, Oliver at rte.ie. Chalk, make yourself comfortable. Our guest today is Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter Ruth Ann Cunningham. She's from Dublin and she's written chart toppers for stars over the last 20 years. You know those kind of, they're like secret pop stars because they're doing all the kind of hard work that is then celebrated by the big stars on stage, which included for her Britney Spears, One Direction. She has her own songs as well under her own name, which she came to kind of a bit later after getting some bad advice in the music industry. That's why she has written a book to help people navigate the music industry, and she's a good one to do it. The Vow is something you would know because it's a soundtrack to countless weddings and engagement. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, this
time is up and the sun, it dies.
You can see all the images flashing by.
Till the rivers flood and the ocean dries.
They're crying, they're laughing, they're dancing.
So hand beautiful. Hand in hand under the falling sky.
And there's confetti there. Oh my God, and that's the soppy ending there. That's The Vow, which is a full song, but it is the soundtrack to engagement videos, weddings online. It has done her no harm whatsoever because she's had a stellar career and there's a new album out as well as the book. She's very busy. And the thing we love about Ruth Ann Cunningham is that she's also an ambassador for Endometriosis Ireland, and she talks about this condition. It's a endometriosis is a long-term medical condition, and what happens is tissue similar to the lining of the womb starts to grow in other places in the woman's body, mostly around the ovaries, fallopian tubes, the bladder, the bowel. It's very, very painful, and sometimes women are told just go off and get pregnant, that'll be the solution to it, and they're often dismissed, women, when they talk about this and told they're imagining the pain and so on. So stay tuned for that. Lots to discuss with Ruth Ann Cunningham this morning. 51551 is the text. Oh, the excitement of the day. It's budget day. I cannot wait for this amazing afternoon of disappointment and cliches, where Pascal Dunne, who's going to stand up with the objective of being so boring you won't even notice the announcements that will possibly trash all the promises they made in the election only 11 months ago. No tax cuts for you. No €200 a month childcare for you. There was only a meme for election 24. And we'll watch and see, are you going to get the cash back on your gym membership because they promised a tax credit for gyms. But one thing is sure is VAT cuts for McDonald's and Michelin star restaurants. But next July. And look, the reality is that the fiscal space, they only has a certain amount of money because we're totally reliant on a handful of American companies and we have to do everything they say from now on. Well, we already have because they've got so much Trump leverage. Like our foreign policy is just Simon Harris yelling pointlessly on TikTok instead of actually talking to the Americans about maybe ending that enormous war. The Americans, no, that's only for Patrick's Day and just being handing them things on Patrick's Day. What great relationship that is. Foreign direct investment, the greatest and now possibly the worst thing that's ever happened to this country. Both because it's Irish fudge, to get it? Which oddly is not one of the things we export in huge numbers. Also, you'd wonder how either of the finance ministers in charge of this budget have time to meet their ministerial colleagues to agree spending. Record number of ministerial colleagues. We 35, no, 38 in total, isn't there? Cabinet and junior ministers. Pascal Dunne, because he's very busy in his other job as chair of the Euro Group of Finance Ministers, and he'll be chairing the council meeting of EU Finance Ministers in 3 days' time. And the build-up to that includes putting together an agenda that's about financing Ukraine's defence against Russian aggression and also paying for climate action, the end of the world. In the meantime, he's got to tweak bits and pieces for here and there and hither and thither in Ireland. Not to mention that that meeting he's going to be dealing with quite a bit of chaos because France is in chaos and God knows who their minister is because their cabinet collapsed yesterday, and the usual division across the EU with pro-Putin, Moscow-leaning people. It's lots of, and his backup minister, though, is Jack Chambers, who spent most of the last 24 hours, 48 hours, panicking about the disastrous presidential election that Fianna Fáil was involved in up until Sunday night. How did they even do this budget? Maybe that's why the budget at the moment in advance feels a little unfinished. And all the previews seem to indicate that Pascal and Jack's accounts are going to be like a kind of a you know, half-leaking child's art project, the one that goes straight into the bin the minute the little dears fall asleep. That's what the budget is. But the Green Party, by the way, they're out of government, but their influence is very, very strong once again this year because the carbon tax is already agreed. It's timed with budgets every year. So from midnight tonight, we understand, a litre of petrol and diesel will go up 2.5 cents on those extra taxes to save the planet. If you average about 60 litres to fill your tank, that's an extra €1.50 for a full tank, I'd say. The calculations. I don't even believe my own calculations. That's about it. But there's more. In the coming months, there'll be another 2 cent and possibly 3 cent added to the cost of a litre of petrol and diesel due to changes to the Renewable Transport Fuel Obligation Scheme. They give these things names that makes you phase out after, you know, tune out after a minute. The scheme aims to increase the amount of renewable fuel used by motorists. There you go. Hugh Linehan is also writing about the budget and says the days of the budget as a national event are over. This annual piece of ritualised theatre that still manages, despite everything, to command the undivided attention by the political class. But he's basically saying, you know, it's full of clichés and why are we doing it? Why do we put all of this into one day? Germany, France and the US are among the many countries who feel no need for a single day of budgetary reckoning. States with strong presidential powers or dispersed federal ones tend to have low-key rolling set of announcements throughout the year. That's the way you can kind of tease out every idea and rather than just do it in one big blob. But the logic is breaking down also, he says, in this media age of push alerts, notifications, and the idea of a single day of revelation doesn't fit the tempo anymore because the ministers are scattering announcements anyway. Some are statements, investment plans. There are leaks to various outlets that might favour them in one way or another. And also, if you can get a personalised answer on your phone, as you will probably by tea time tonight, to how much your take-home pay will change, why would you be bothered ploughing through acres of reportage and endless and repetitive panel discussions? He's kind of saying that against all of our interests, Hugh. How could you? As a result, the budget still matters in substance, but has lost some of its collective force as theatre. Now, I'd love to give you the opposition views to all the things that you said about what's the budget sludge. But like, I can't find them. They'll be out. They'll do a bit of hucklebuck in the afternoon. This is a disgrace and that you haven't spent money here and you're a disaster. And Piers Doherty's forehead will be throbbing. And then you'll get the opposition view on things. But unfortunately, if you're looking for a political theatre, the Jim Gavin story is still dominating the national press online and in print everywhere. As a side, one of the things we're learning is that Fianna Fáil probably spent 500 grand on this election, half a million. And going, but all the fury is coming from Micheál Martin's backbenches. At least they're getting some exercise, says you. He'll be delighted with that. And basically the gist of what all the angry TDs, the ones that are brave enough to speak out loud on air, have said is kind of the dwindling numbers of Fianna Fáil members, their involvement. They feel their involvement in this once mighty party where they could feel the wattage of Merrion Street power coming down to every parish, down their way. They're now basically just feeling like raffle ticket sellers with no say in anything Fianna Fáil stands for. It's probably why it's so hard to find out what Fianna Fáil stands for. And meanwhile, the only person with any sense at the moment is Simon Harris, leader of Fine Gael, invisible during these dark days for centrism. Nowhere to be seen at all. I know he's out and about, but much because he's everywhere all the time saying things over and over again. He's just, this is invisible for him. But the story of the day to do with Jim Gavin is undoubtedly, it's an exclusive by Michael O'Toole. It's in the Star and also in the Mirror. Because they're kind of in the similar stables these days. And he has spoken exclusively to the man who was Jim Gavin's tenant and the one who, and now we know, accidentally overpaid him €3,300 for 6 months' rent after a banking error. And he had left the flat that Jim Gavin was landlord of back in 2009. By the way, side note to all of this, renting an apartment in Dublin City Centre 2009 was €550 a month for the whole apartment. That'd be a quarter, possibly even 20%. Of what it would be now in 2025, which says its own story. But what is this tenant saying now? He says he feels Mr. Gavin was badly advised by Fianna Fáil during the crisis in the campaign that erupted late last week. The man told us, and these are his quotes, I don't know what advice he got. If he'd rung me and tried to resolve it, and said, you know, I meant to do it, but I never got around to it or whatever. I kind of blame Fianna Fáil for that rather than him, because you can see he got his advice. They told him what to do. Who wants to be held accountable for something they did all those years ago? I mean, I'm not sure I would like to be. So I feel sorry for him, but it is what it is. And he was asked then, this tenant, how he felt when he heard the news on Sunday night that Jim Gavin was withdrawing from the campaign. I felt sorry for him, he says. It's a mistake he must have made. I didn't know he was in financial difficulties at the time. He didn't say that to me. We all make mistakes in life. So I do feel sorry for him in that way. In fairness to him, he said in a statement he made a mistake. But if he'd said to me he was struggling financially back then, and I'll pay you back when I can, or pay it back, whatever, that would have been fine. But it's not what he said. And this guy is explaining he paid the rent from two separate accounts. He forgot to cancel a standing order. I think it was a savings account. And of course, he checked it 6 months later and got the shock of his life. But he also reveals that himself and his partner, the tenant, they were expecting their first child. Things were tough financially. He says, I had no money. I was under a lot of financial pressure at the time. It was very frustrating that happened. It was one of those things that was really, really hard on me at the time. And that would probably go to explain why he rang the landlord, Jim Gavin, loads of times, sent him emails, sent him texts, eventually went to a solicitor. And at one stage he went to his parents' house, and he and Jim Gavin and Fianna Fáil have said that Jim Gavin was in touch with the landlord back then. The tenant version of that is that late that night, when he had contacted Jim Gavin's parents, he rang me up very irate, let's put it that way, that I called to his parents' house. He said he'd pay me the money. He didn't dispute it. There's no way, he just didn't remember it. And he has confirmed, the tenant, that as of yesterday afternoon, he had not heard from Jim Gavin, who had put out his statement. It was only Sunday night, in fairness, that he would fix his mistake, and said that mistake was out of character for him. And outside of that, and what Jim Gavin does, we won't be hearing much from him, I'd imagine, for a while. Is the who knew what and when in Fianna Fáil game begins, and that's in the press coverage around the place. But there's a bit of empathy there from that tenant, must be said. Where'd you go to for your merry distractions these days? Well, parents of young children are watching various cartoons on the telly, and Chris O'Dowd has announced that he has just voiced season 3 of a show that would be familiar to parents, a good Irish show called Puffin Rock. Here's a clip from it.
Oh, don't you just love Puffin Rock on a sunny day?
Baba swim.
Ooh, Baba's having a swimming lesson. I wonder who the instructor is.
Ready, Baba?
Of course it's you, Una. Who else would it be?
Don't rush, Baba. Go in carefully to the water.
Oh, I bet that water's cold. But it won't worry Baba. His waterproof feathers allow him to stay warm and dry when he's swimming. The lucky duck. Or rather, Puffin.
The Puffin. That's Chris O'Dowd, he's narrating, returning as narrator for the third series of Puffin Rock. It's made by Cartoon Saloon, the Kilkenny animation that's Oscar nominated and all that. And he says that it's 11 years since Puffin Rock began. And Chris O'Dowd's kids were 3 or 4 at the time, so they kind of grew up with it. When you're a parent, it's difficult finding stuff to watch. So this is like a lovely show, and parents are very appreciative. And Chris says that how the whole thing came about was the Irish writer Paul Young behind the whole thing. And came knocking his door, he couldn't turn him down. Why? Because Paul and I grew up on the same street in the west of Ireland, and I was very friendly with his sister. It always sounds weird when I say it like that, but she was a good pal. He got in touch, asked if he'd be interested in doing a voice in a cartoon. I looked at it and saw that's getting better and better, this animation world, and he's involved in it. And I think that's gas, isn't it? The most Irish thing of all time. Puffin Rock season 3, all of it, by the way, is on the RTE player, as are some of the great Irish animations that are around there. People are finding out, by the way, this week, if they've won the Nobel Prize in various things. There's a fellow called Fred Ramsdell. He's a 64-year-old senior advisor at a biotherapeutics company, and he is sharing the prestigious prize, Nobel Prize in Medicine, with Mary Brunkow of Seattle, Washington, and a guy called Sagaguchi of Osaka University in Japan for their discoveries related to the functioning of the immune system. So the Nobel Committee are going, right, we need to contact all these people. They became very difficult to get hold of. It took a while to track down Mary. Then they said, oh, she rang back, and they've managed to find her and tell her the good news, and she's delighted. And then they got the hold of the fella in Japan and said, brilliant. Now, where's this Fred fella? Fred Ramsdell still doesn't know he's won the Nobel Prize in Medicine, because one of his friends says he is living his best life off the grid on a holiday. He may be backpacking in the backcountry in Idaho. The Nobel Committee were trying to contact him, and they basically left a message and said, if they have a chance, could you call us back? And he hasn't since. And the friend can't even get hold of Fred Ramsdell, so he's off having a lovely time in Idaho, backpacking, living off the grid. And when he comes down, he's going to realise he has won the prize of his lifetime. Beware of what you can win in life is the message from Adam Lopez, 39-year-old from near Norwich. And this man had £12.40 in his bank account when he picked up a scratch card in July, scratched it, and he won £1 million. And his bank balance went to £1,012.40. He quit his job as a forklift driver after becoming this instant millionaire. And what happened was 3 months of partying and he lost all structure in his life. Where's the bad bit in this, says you? It's very bad. Celebrations came to an end. He was taken by ambulance to hospital with a bilateral pulmonary embolism after 3 months of non-stop partying. I couldn't walk, I couldn't breathe, he told the BBC. I rang the ambulance, I got wheeled into the ambulance. It is the biggest life-changing thing, lying in the back of that ambulance and hearing the sirens. It was a blood clot in his leg, which spread up to his lungs. And he was 8 days in hospital. And this is the wake-up call. He says, it just makes you look at both sides of life. It doesn't matter if you have 1 million, 100 million, 1 billion. When you're in the back of an ambulance, none of it matters. So it's kind of health is your wealth vibe is going on with him. He'll be having sober October, I'd imagine, now and possibly for the rest of his days. On Puff and Rock, my 2-year-old is rewatching some episodes from seasons 1 and 2 right now. It is the nicest programme available for small children by a country mile. Delighted to hear there'll be more episodes. Well done, Cartoon Saloon. They're delighted with themselves. We'll take some Irish music this morning. This is Niall Horan, but one of the writers is our guest this morning, Ruth Ann Cunningham from Donaghmede in Dublin. 51551 is the text. It's a Tuesday, everybody. Good morning.